The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome into Rover Sports on a fine Tuesday night. We've got the triumvirate here. Josh Dacey, Spencer G, Bruce Grosser, and the quad himself. That is the fourth guy, Charlie Bowles. Stephen Lewis is a doctor on location tonight. We have Colin Newby producing the show, giving us that great sound. And we also have Matt Vito, our videographer. We are Rover Sports. For many of you live, you're accustomed to hearing us on 97.5 FM HD2 or on 860 AM WWDB. Bruce Grossinger, Facebook. And we are going to get started right now. We are now following an incredible...
Hey, Bruce. And Steve Lewis, Dr. Lewis actually is going to be joining us tonight.
Is he going to be in studio?
Yes, he's here. Yes, he's here.
Okay, great. So I'm mentioning that Dr. Lewis will be in studio, and we're glad to have him. So we'll make that amendment, and let's get started as we wait for Dr. Lewis.
Sure.
So my introduction is, this is very improbable. My lock of the week was that the Saints would beat up on the Eagles at the Superdome. But the way that Charlie Bowles always mentions, it's a week-to-week league, somehow the defense played out of their minds. Jalen Carter is statistically was involved in almost 40% of the defensive plays. Not only what showed up in the box score, but being disruptive, living in the backfield, making Derek Carr very uncomfortable, hitting Alvin Kamara. To the point where many of the warts that were shown in the game itself by Sirianni, many of the mistakes, which were clear by Jalen Hurts, were offset by a remarkable defense, just an incredible defense, to the extent that the Eagles were able to pull this one out in ugly fashion, 15-12, and go up to 2-1. Many people thought the Eagles would beat the Falcons and lose to the Saints, but they end up in the same place. They're 2-1.
Yeah, Bruce. And I got to say that the offense, even though they weren't scoring, they're possessing the ball. So that's limiting the opportunities that Derek Carr and that offense had. When I look at the Saints and their game plan, they didn't really throw the football down the field all that often. They didn't really test the Eagles' secondary. And the stretch run game, just a really nice job. You mentioned Zach Bond, N'Kobe Dean, the linebackers. Like when you're playing outside zone, you got to have your defensive linemen shed. You got to have your defensive linemen in gaps and blocking the offensive linemen and occupying blocks so that the linebackers get the glory. So it's a thankless job being a defensive lineman because you're taking on blocks and then the guys who get the glory are the linebackers. And Vic Fangio, I doubted Vic Fangio on this show last week. I called him out. I said, I'm not sure if he still has his fastball. But that was a vintage Vic Fangio masterpiece that we saw in New Orleans.
Josh, what are your thoughts? I guess we'll start with the defensive side of the ball. Spencer kind of leaned into that. Your thoughts on the defense? We're going to hear Dr. Lewis and Charlie, and then we'll go around the horn again and talk about the offense. Go ahead.
You know, defensively, if Jalen Carter plays like that every game, you're looking at another great defensive tackle that comes through Philadelphia. He'll be remembered forever. Unfortunately, he's not consistent yet.
Jerome Brown like.
Exactly.
He had a Jerome Brown like game.
He did. I mean, if Jordan Davis could do half of what he's doing, it'd be unbelievable. And if Bryce Huff, it seems like Bryce Huff might be the worst free agent signing since
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yes. So, but they played really well. They played really well on the defensive side, and Give them credit. That's what they needed to do, because the Saints' offense was putting up 40-plus points a game. They pressured Derek Carr. They limited Alvin Kamara. Everything that Bijan Robinson did the week before, they shut it down.
It was stunning. Stunning to imagine it was 3-0 at half. That's going back decades. And I watched the game with Dr. Lewis. We had a great time watching it. It's great when the Rovers could be together, and out loved it. And so much, so we have a lot of our mindset going into this Rover Sports show. But folks are on the defensive side of the ball. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, sorry I was late. I was at the Nick Sirianni victory tour, so I just got
in. Oh, that's right.
My thoughts
he actually gave Nick Sirianni body armor as he was going down a sea of green on Broad Street. Go ahead.
My thoughts on what, the defense?
On the defense,
yeah, like
the Eagles.
Like the panel's saying, I was listening on my way in. Look, Jalen Carter played like the player that we know he is. I mean, when we drafted him, we thought he was the steal of the draft, for sure, and had a good, productive first six games and has been completely absent. Sunday, he showed why he was that player that we all thought he'd be. Jordan Davis stepped up, had a memorable game as well. And the two of them really led that defense, as we're saying. I mean, they really did a great job, for sure.
So, Charlie, you watched the game. We're starting a little bit about the defense. Were you surprised by what you saw, as we were? And give us kind of a global view. Charlie Bowles, what did you see?
Based on what everyone else said and based on what I thought personally going into the game, yeah, I was super surprised. I couldn't echo it any better than the two docs talking, number one, about the Jerome Brown comparison. That is spot on. I mean, Carter, again, that was just an all-pro type performance. You saw Jordan Davis for the first time, and like I said, I think also, before we get into the offense again, I think, again, the Saints came back to the center, as most things always do. They usually come back to the center. They were playing way over their skis. They were bound to come back. Again, didn't think it was going to be against this defense the way they were playing, that it would be last week. But look, give credit where credit is due, man. Philly showed a lot of, they have, chutzpah, I guess you say. And when their back's against the wall, they perform. So I give them all the credit in the world.
Looking at the offense, it was a mixed bag. It was uneven. Uneven in the sense that Sirianni had, I think the big talk of the town is that Sirianni, whenever he has a chance to impact the game, usually does it in an unfavorable way. He had the chance in a low-scoring game to take points.
Yeah.
Two field goals. We were just shocked. And if you even looked at the fans on TV, you saw that they were shocked too. So they basically gave up the opportunity for 6 points. They could have gone into halftime up 6-0. They went in down 3-0. Then they kicked inexplicably a long 60-yard wide right play. And another play, another Sirianni thing, was really a 4th-and-2 to go on a tush push. And that's just too long for that play. And what turned out to be supposedly a misdirection, but nobody was fooled. And it was a pitch to Barkley, and it was sniffed out. Everybody, including all the Saints, knew. And that was a really – so to be able to overcome these crucial mistakes, that is certainly terrible. As far as the positives, obviously, Saquon Barkley, he showed his speed. I guess they rested him in the first half because he bounced out to the right. It had a 65-yard touchdown. That was really the defining moment of the game. The other defining moment was Dallas Goedert, who literally caught 170 yards. Okay, that's 17 yards, including that last one, 60 yards streaking. And that was Kellen Moore setting up the misdirection, setting up the pick play, where you basically had – you picked the linebacker and the safety legally, which is hard to do, because an illegal pick would have been called. Those referees were calling everything. And that play, and then Saquon Barkley at the end, your favorite player, Penn State, the way you knew he was scoring, and the way he held up those two fingers, we're going for two, and he could not and would not be denied, Josh.
Saquon, in my opinion, Saquon's the MVP after the first 3 weeks. He's been...
They're 0-3 without him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Doctor. I mean, he's just played extremely well. He's very confident. He's picking up a lot of good blitz packages. He's given Hurt some time. I mean, offensively, I got to be honest with you. First of all, the Nick Sirianni press conference is almost as humorous as Gabe Kapler's press conference. It's terrible. And he says a lot of things that, you know, just baffles people, especially with the ums. So Saquon's awesome. Give credit to Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goedert, I think, has been lost over the last year and a half in this offense. A lot of balls should be going to him. He was a stud. That was a great pick play that showed up and went like almost 80 yards for it.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'm going to say about the offense is that they are the contribute to victory because they got 20 first downs. So when you have 20 first downs, when you have 32 minutes of time in possession compared to 27, when you have 11 throwing first downs, and when you throw 38 passes and at least complete 29 of them, now there were two turnovers, and the passing game wasn't explosive whatsoever, but it wasn't completely an F. An F would be punting every single series. So you possess the ball, you keep it out of Derek Carr's hands, and at least that's what they did because they made it easier on the defense. So you give the Saints less exposures. But of course, it was a total mixed bag, like you said.
And just going along with the time of possession, when you look at the third quarter, the Eagles controlled that quarter. They almost used every minute in the quarter. And as I was saying to Steve Lewis here, the fact you're able to really, that offense came out fresh. Saquon Barkley came out fresh. In that fourth quarter, he came out shot like a cannon. And he was able to run. And again, there's two all linemen, the two guys that came in to substitute for Becton and for Lane Johnson, they played beautifully. They didn't lose a beat. So there are very strong points in the offense. They couldn't have got that done. They couldn't have blocked for Hurts, giving him all the time. Like you said, at times Hurts had a lot of time. And again, Jalen Hurts is a whole other discussion here.
Yeah.
But as far as the overarching offense, Dr. Lewis, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, Spencer gave a good recapitulation of what we saw. I mean, time possession, and they did. The Saints defense was really spent. I mean, I thought that, but overall, it's a mixed bag. I would give it a C.
What did you think of the Eagles offense, Charlie? Jalen Hurts obviously played in Alabama. You're a big Alabama fan. Then he went to Oklahoma, which was considered at that time an offensive factory. Now, not so much. If we talk about Oklahoma, the one thing, ironically, Oklahoma's defense is carrying them, and their offense is absolutely horrible right now. But looking at Jalen Hurts, I'm going to let you just lead into this one. A lot of people in this town believe that Jalen Hurts may not ever fulfill expectations. He may not ever be able to go through route progressions and be able to orderly go through looking off receivers, looking off safeties, not telegraphing his passes. And without mentioning a name, one excellent retired NFL running back that we know very well literally said to one of our collaborators, "This guy doesn't know how to read defenses. He never will." And he literally said, and it's not a matter of him not being smart enough, his football intelligence is not enough for him to be able to gather this at this point. If he's been in the league this long and he can't get it now, he may never get it. So, Charlie, you probably have seen as much Hurts as anybody because you follow these teams closely. So a lot coming down now on Hurts and on Sirianni. And the opposite side of the yin and the yang is Goddard and Barkley getting their props for this win. What are your thoughts about Hurts?
Well, I mean, like, if someone had to get Goddard the ball, number one. I mean, look, Hurts, let's face it. There's less than eight people in the entire world that play the position at a super high level. And that's true. Less than eight people in the entire world. So you have the true best, you know, you have the Mahomes and the Allens, and, you know, and then you go down to this middle tier, and, you know, it's always like kind of a horse race. Someone's playing better than the other, but they're all kind of the same. You know, Hurts has had his moments, and I think, again, you're never going to see probably that next level out of Hurts. I think everyone is kind of on that same page. Is he more, if you're looking at him more as a game manager, is he suitable? Yeah, I think that the expectations are what's out of whack. Everyone expects Hurts to be Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen. Hurts looks like he actually slowed down in the last couple of years as well. He was never fleet of foot, but it looks like his speed, for whatever reason, is not where it was either. And also you have the new OC. So I give it more time. You know, again, like I said, I think he's, you know, he's had some very, very good games. He's had some not so good games. But I think when you're the 12th to 15th best quarterback in the NFL. That's what it looks like.
Charlie, I could disagree more. I mean, you're talking about him being a game manager. A game manager can't turn the ball over at an alarming rate that Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over.
Yeah, but do you know how many receivers ran wrong routes on that? Do you know for a fact that it wasn't a receiver? A lot of interceptions in the NFL are not the quarterback's fault.
But he's running the ball.
A lot of receivers are running wrong routes. They're breaking the wrong way. So until you know that, you can't really say it's his fault.
Well, that's
again, I can see it. I can see a lot of interceptions that I know aren't the quarterback's fault.
What you're saying is true. However, I mean, even when he runs the ball, he's running the football and he's not protecting the football. I mean, you can't do that. And he's an elite runner as a quarterback. So you're talking about a game manager. Right. A game manager, whether the receivers are running the wrong routes or not. I mean, first of all, he's holding the ball way too long, and that's problematic right there. But the fumbles, I mean, the turnovers, you can't tell me that this is a result of receivers running a wrong route here and there.
So you're telling me there's 20 quarterbacks in the NFL better than him right now. Can you name them?
Well, I mean, right
now. I wish we had time for that.
We don't have time for that. But when you look at what's going on around the league with Andy Daltons and Sam Darnolds, and I mean, those are game managers that are not turning the ball over and their teams are winning. I mean, the Eagles.
You're talking about skimming a rock. Andy Dalton played one game against a terrible team.
Right. But I mean, if it's not for Saquon Barkley, this team is 0-3 right now. This team's 0-3 right now. What's that?
He's also a backup, Andy Dalton, who had one good game. Again, that's
no. I hear you.
Everyone looks at the one stitch in time.
I hear you, but he's. I mean, look at this. He's 3-9 in his last 12 games. He could be 0-3 this season if it wasn't for Saquon Barkley bailing him out with those plays. He is not in control. And if you're attributing this to coaching, then we have another big problem. And we I don't know how much we talked about Nick Sirianni, and I think we really need to spend a little bit more time on that. But Jalen Hurts is clearly regressing. I mean, the Super Bowl year was a factor of the team having the third easiest schedule in the NFL, but at the same time, he wasn't making these mistakes like this. He's clearly regressing as a veteran NFL franchise quarterback making over $50 million a year. He's got to be better than this, Charlie.
Okay. Well, do you think a fair comparison is Trevor Lawrence right now, who kind of like?
But we're not talking about Trevor Lawrence. We're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is that a fair comparison?
No, but what we're talking about is the Philadelphia Eagles, who are built to win. This team has skilled players unlike we've ever seen. He has an offensive line that we've never seen. He has an offensive line coach like we've never seen. This team is built to win.
Better offensive line last year and the year before.
Well, they're coming on his own, but.
So I'm going to take a middle ground. So in other words, I believe that I'm not as down on Jalen Hurts as Dr. Lewis. And nor am I giving him as much of a pass. And again, I'm not, without getting into an actual debate here, what I would say is we do have a new offensive coordinator. We do have Kellen Moore. I think in fairness to Hurts, when he has both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith healthy, he does a nice job in that instance, he does a nice job of spreading the ball out between those two receivers. But he has a blind spot for Dallas Goedert. He does lock on a number one guy. And if we look at the last game, he locked on Devontae Smith completely until Smith was out. And he locked on completely into Dallas Goedert. And guys like Dotson, secondary people, I'm not saying Calcaterra deserves a lot. Obviously, there's a sad thing in the sense that Britton Covey just went on IR. He probably has a fractured humerus. When they say a bone in his shoulder, I presume that's it. I mean, it could be a different bone, you know, but most likely that's the likely bone that was broken. But what I'd like to see from Hurts is hopefully that he could go through progressions. Especially we watch College Game Day. You could go through a handful of quarterbacks that they literally go through five progressions, and they look very professional. I don't see this with Jalen Hurts.
Well,
I see him go to one receiver and at most a stopgap.
Yeah.
You know, a safety valve.
Well,
what do you see?
I kind of see that. However, I mean, the other receivers that are playing now that you don't have A.J. Brown, you really, other than Devontae Smith, what other receivers? I guess Dallas Goedert is another receiver.
Now Jalen Hurts.
But what other team has a luxury like this? I mean, those teams don't.
We've the Dallas, Eagles Goddard, and Smith.
Smith and AJ. You're saying AJ is not there. You're making excuses. I mean, what other team has this
Steve, he's still 36-18 as a starter. It's a huge luxury. The fourth down, having his leg strength to do that push play is a huge asset.
It's not sustainable, though, Spencer. I mean, this is breaking down. I mean, you need him healthy and ready to go in January. You don't need all this now. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is responsible, the quarterback, the franchise quarterback of a team that had the most epic collapse in the history of sports, not just the NFL last year. And again, if it's not for Saquon Barkley, this team is 0-3.
But that drive in Green Bay was a very impressive drive that Jalen Hurts orchestrated. He made big throws on that drive. And then against the Saints, they had to go 70 yards in the dome to win, and he hit Goddard and made those plays. This is a quarterback that is a quarter away from being a Super Bowl championship player.
Without him fumbling.
And here's the thing about Hurts. I agree. I think he's like Jimmy G and Brock Purdy. I don't think he has big-time arm strength. But he's probably exactly like Charlie said. He's a decent to pretty good player.
So we're heading into the break just to let everybody know we are Rover Sports. We've got everybody here. We've got our five Rovers, our two wonderful producers, and we're going to be doing college football after the break, then our fearless picks.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Welcome back to Rover Sports. We're here atop a beautiful perch, and it's getting dark a bit earlier, which is a little bit sad in itself, but still beautiful Indian summer weather in the fall, great golf weather, and hopefully this will extend well into December, as it did last year, if we're very lucky. There's a lot of college football going on, and last week was a little bit of an off week in the sense that there were a lot of mismatches. There are two games I'm looking at right now, and I want to preview two wonderful games. And the first game, and I want everybody's input, the first game I'm going to pick is a game I'd like to be at, but I'm not going to be at. And that is in Tuscaloosa, the Georgia Bulldogs, undefeated, 3-0, going to play the Alabama Crimson Tide with their new coach. And Josh, what do you see in this game? I mean, this is going to be a sentinel game of two teams that almost definitely are going to be in the top 12. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, I would look at Charlie, and this is the first time Alabama's been an underdog at home for a long time. Kirby Smart.
Since 2007, since George Bush's presidency.
I mean,
that's 17 years.
Yes,
I'm good at subtraction. Continue.
So I think we're headed to a very big game with something that has a lot of championship implications. I can see both these teams still in the playoffs right now. I mean, Charlie, Ryan Williams, the 17-year-old from Alabama, he's a stud.
Phenom.
He's a phenom.
So, Charlie, we'll throw it to you. I'd say the biggest college football guy we have. Certainly, Carson Beck is a quarterback that's been a little up and down. And with Alabama, they seem like they're getting their feet under him, literally. This game is going to have a national championship feel to it in Tuscaloosa. Alabama's got a great home crowd. You've been to a lot of games. This is your favorite, other than JMU, for familial reasons. What do you give us a little eye on what you see in this game?
It's the story of the weekend will be very simple. It's Alabama's ranked top 10 both in offense and defense. Georgia is the only team in the country who has not allowed a touchdown this year. So I predict Bama will be the first team to score a touchdown. I predict Bama will walk out of there with a win.
Wow.
I think Georgia is just stacked on defense. I think Carson Beck is one of these guys where everyone thought at this point in his career he'd be a sure number one pick. As the weeks go on, he maybe slips a little bit more each week. He's a very good quarterback. Is he that top-level elite? I don't think so. I think Alabama wins this game, and I'm not going to say handily because I don't believe that. I think it'll be tight the entire day, but if you're going to ask me for a side, I'm clearly, and not because I'm a fan, I'm clearly leaning on Alabama.
It's funny because, Charlie, I'm the complete opposite. I think that Georgia, after that Kentucky game, has been stewing for 2 weeks. I love the secondary of Georgia, And Jalen Milroe is still a very inconsistent thrower, especially throwing short and throwing medium. Against Wisconsin, their quarterback went out. They struggled a little bit in the first quarter, and I know that Alabama's offense is explosive, but Georgia has three running backs. You can run the football. You are right that Carson Beck is not as great as last year. I mean, when you lose one of the best tight ends to ever play college football in Brock Bowers, you're going to take a step back. And Ladd McConkey, really good college player. Completely agree. Even Arian Smith. So I just look, Charlie, I'm worried about the Alabama offense against the Georgia defense. And then I think that Bobo and Georgia can kind of scheme up plays. I think that they could scheme up some really solid, like, run and pass plays. I think Georgia wants the game more. Alabama beat Georgia in Atlanta for the SEC title last year. Kirby is more experienced than DeBoer, and Kirby's going to have confidence because, Bruce, what happened last year? I guess you could say Milroe was a different guy, but Texas went into Tuscaloosa, and Texas wrecked Alabama in their house last year.
Well, one thing I could say as a college football fan, I love the fact the game's at 7:30 at night on a Saturday night. I personally hate those game day games. This is the time. I mean, this is the kind of game that you really think about, like with Dr. Lewis, making sure that there's a TV at the restaurant or we take out food, because that's just a premium game that I'm looking for. I live for games like this.
Yeah, but the noon games on Saturday. Come on, that's fall football.
It's not for me. No, David, we can disagree.
It's not for me. It's only for
several. I just love the 7:30.
I love the noon game.
Do you love the noon game? You love the
noon games. That's college football.
No, that's too early. It's too early. You got to have your crappy games early and your elite games.
Yeah.
Well, that's Ole Miss, Kentucky at noon.
Yeah. Ole Miss, Kentucky, right?
Leave that in there.
What team is that going to show? Yeah, what team showing up there?
Bruce,
another story for another
day. Bruce,
you were talking about one thing.
Bruce is right about one thing. This is a game that should not be on at noon. This is a game that should be a primetime game on Saturday night without
question. It's on ABC primetime. Keith Jackson would be doing this game if he could.
Yeah. And you could hear his voice.
Ben,
but
go ahead, Charlie.
You do know Bama. You do realize Bama did beat Georgia last year, right?
That's what I'm saying, yes. I think that it could be a different
story. So that goes into Spencer's stewing. You know,
is that part of your revenge?
Spencer's got the Kentucky two-week stewing, last year's game stewing.
Georgia doesn't want it more than Alabama. That's crazy.
Saban's there, but I'm worried about Milroe. I'm worried about the turnovers and the pass rush. I'm worried about Jalen Milroe.
That leads us right into, as we're all frothing at the mouth, which is how we want to be on Rover Sports, a game that I see as a really exciting game. The Illini, with one of the best teams they've filled in years, 4-0, rumbling into State College to play those Nittany Lions. This game, we will find out who Penn State really is. Josh, this is a game you've circled on the calendar, and I think that this is really an important game. We're going to find out about both of these teams, and I can't wait to watch this game. And ironically, it's going head-to-head with the other game. So it means we're going to need...
Is this a whiteout game?
We're going to need two TVs. Definitely two TVs.
Interesting, before you comment, I mean, Penn State is a 19-point favorite in this game, which is...
They're off. I mean, I don't get much out of Penn State beating Kent State 56-0. I really don't. I mean, Drew Aller put up decent stats. This is going to be a statement game for both teams. Brett Bielema back in the Big Ten where he should be. He was previously at Wisconsin. He had a huge win last week, Charlie, down in Nebraska in overtime. Dylan Raiola looks like the real deal. He fumbled a couple times, but you know, Illinois is a good football team. They are a really good football team. I love what Penn State's doing right now on offense with the running backs. Singleton's has about 8 carries for over 40 yards, a bunch of touchdowns. They're playing well.
I want to ask Charlie something. When I heard the line, is it 17? Is that what you said?
19.
So I always say the line tells you something. So I can't for the life of me understand. I mean, Penn State is a team that looks like a great machine that's slow to warm up. That just they haven't hit their full stride yet. And I see Illinois, they play like a bunch of dogs. They force turnovers. Bielema is a dog himself. I mean, We've hung out with Bielema. He happens to be one of my favorite coaches. I want to throw it to Charlie, and I'm going to throw it back to you. Does that what is that line telling you, Charlie?
I'm trying to see what the total is in the game so I can kind of get a read on
Please go ahead, because this is baffling.
47 and a half.
47.5?
Yeah.
So if you're thinking like Vegas, Vegas thinks that Penn State is going to completely shut Illinois down. I watched the Nebraska game last week. Wasn't blown away by the quarterback play. It seemed like the announcers were. I didn't really get that. I think Nebraska gave that game away in many ways.
They did.
But, again, the fact that Illinois is such a large underdog, like, I mean, the only thing you can read into that is that Penn State's going to demolish them. And I think it'll be what the odds makers are thinking, you know, 35-10,
yeah,
something like that. They don't think Illinois is going
to
score.
It's not smart. It's not smart to go for Illinois. That's the gambler's trap, is to go for Illinois. Now, like, here's the thing. Can Illinois run the ball on Penn State? Like, can Fegan, that big back, can he run it? Because Luke Altmyer is a complimentary quarterback. He's an older player, played at Ole Miss. And he's a little bit mobile. He's pesky. He's pretty good. But Josh, like, the Penn State, I guess, against Bowling Green, maybe Bowling Green's better than people think, but, like, still,
they moved the ball very well. I mean, they hit slant routes. They had a bunch of transfers that came in, and they're playing great football. Bowling Green's a good team.
Do you think it's the whiteout factor, Josh?
I mean,
the whiteout factor cannot, I mean, that's got to mean something, I think, because people go absolutely, I've never been there, but it looks like people go absolutely nuts there. It's probably so loud. And it is against Illinois, and I think Penn State really, they want to vault. They've kind of been looked as a second-tier top 10 team, if you know what I'm saying. Texas, Alabama, Georgia.
Yeah.
People have looked past Penn State. And if they just blow out, if they blow out Illinois, they're going to be in consideration for top four. Josh, you're an alum. What do you think of that?
I like the September talk, but I don't believe anything until you get past Ohio State. You know, I mean, you got 12 teams in the playoffs, and you got some big games coming up with Penn State. They need to win this one. They need to go on the road to beat USC. So UCLA.
Worst rule in the world, Josh, was that the third overtime, just doing those 2-point conversions. Remember, they had to walk the field those 9 overtimes. Illinois beat Penn State at 9 overtimes just because they do 2-point conversions last.
It's that time.
That was 3 years ago.
Guess what? It's that time. It's that time for the fearless 6 picks. The NFL is front and center. Our commissioner, Coach Daishi. We are going to lead us off, and this is how we're going to do this. It's going to be around the horn, starting with me, and just because we're going to go clockwise this way, Colin, and then Charlie, and this is going to be a rotation for the day. Let's get into it without any further ado.
All right, so you got Dallas, 1-2. Dak Prescott had a solid game, but the team, again, they dropped another home game last week to the Ravens. They are traveling up to New York. New York's getting 5.5 points. Malik Nabers looks very good. Daniel Jones looked very comfortable getting him the ball last week. Doc, where are we headed?
Okay. I think that the Giants had their moment in the sun last week. They had their win. Dallas is embarrassed by what's happened last week, and particularly the week before. It's time for Dallas to come storming back. And I believe that defense is going to have some tricks up their sleeve for Mr. Daniel Jones. I think they're going to actually double cover Malik Nabers. And if you take Nabers out of the game and you put a rush on Danny Jones, they're going to put a hurting on the Giants. That's not enough points for me. I'm taking the Cowboys in this game.
Yeah, you know, I think that when you look at what happened last week with Dallas, Mike McCarthy, they're just really unorganized. They look inept. They're falling apart quick. But they had a nice comeback. And the Giants, like you said, Danny Dimes looked a little very competent, Nabers. But I agree with you, Bruce. I think this is the game that Dallas gets it together and rips them apart.
I absolutely agree. I think Dallas has to bounce back. They've been embarrassed twice. They need this win. They need this one.
Yeah, technically the Giants do as well. They're both 1-2, but I agree. The Giants are not mature.
The Giants need it for what?
Well, playoffs. Both teams are 1-2.
Are they considering the playoffs, the Giants?
Yeah.
Are they looking for a quarterback? Okay. I mean, Dallas is a legitimate playoff team. Giants were not considered.
Well, when
you're
an NFL franchise, you have to think you're a playoff team. You can't think in that loser way of just the draft. Like I get it. As fans, we'll think
you're picking the Giants.
I'm not. They're not. They're very immature. The Giants. They don't know how to handle success. The Cowboys are so much better. The Cowboys have won like 10 straight games against the Giants. Okay. So I completely agree that the Giants are not there, and the Cowboys will roll, just like you said,
okay. Colin.
Yes,
I agree. Dallas is just the more talented team here. I think six. I'll lay it. Pick Dallas with the spread.
Charlie.
Dallas is a mess. I'm not until they prove to me I'm not laying six on them on anybody. I wouldn't lay a six against Delaware County Community College.
Wow.
I love it.
Wow.
That's how Charlie distinguishes himself. He is the ultimate contrarian.
Well, not laying
and he's
six.
Swimming up against the stream like a salmon, and Charlie's right more often than not.
Garbage time.
Here we go, Josh. Next one.
Minnesota. The 3-0 Minnesota Vikings. I never thought we'd say that starting the year. All of a sudden, you got Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson can play with anybody. Traveling up to Green Bay. Green Bay and the quarterback of Fountain of Youth with quarterbacks, Malik Willis, looked really good. Green Bay giving up 2.5 to Minnesota.
Okay. The bottom line is I like Green Bay a lot in this game. I've liked all I've seen. Very opportunistic defense. They turned the ball over. Malik Willis, I saw him at Liberty back then. I saw when he came into the league, he literally couldn't complete a pass. This team, and I believe that there is a Lambeau factor. This is an in-division game. There's going to be a lot of hitting. There's going to be turnovers. Minnesota is not going to leave this place 4-0. And for me, I'm taking the Pack is back.
Sam Darnold, I mean, he's an early favorite for league MVP. I mean, the guy's playing really well. Justin Jefferson, I guess, could make me look that well. I don't know. But it's a shame that somebody didn't pick him in Philadelphia. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, I do think Minnesota goes into the frozen tundra and comes away with a victory 4-0.
Ooh, interesting. Go ahead, Josh.
I agree with you. I think Green Bay is playing well. Doesn't matter who they have a quarterback. They got good receivers in Jalen Reed, Donovan Wicks. The running back is playing solid as well. Jacobs, I like Green Bay.
Interesting. And what a job by Matt LaFleur. I mean, the early coach of the year for Malik Willis, who was a third stringer, he goes in and defeats Will Levis, who Tennessee cast him aside. And then 3 weeks later, he dominates them.
Wow.
With that being said, Minnesota, Sam Darnold. Oh. I love this team. And Sam Darnold's younger than Joe Burrow. He's just 27. He's playing good football. And Minnesota, their defense is actually legit. So I like the Vikings.
Colin?
I like the Packers here. Malik Willis played okay. You got the key number just below three there. I like the Packers to cover.
Charlie?
I'm assuming Love will not be back this week. I know they'll probably try everything they can, but I'm assuming he won't. If not, yeah, I think Minnesota's too much for them, if assuming Love's not back.
Yeah, I haven't heard a whisper of him returning, and we'll find out. Tomorrow's going to be the injury report, particularly for the Eagles, just to throw it out. I heard that A.J. Brown is going to give it a go to practice. As far as the two guys in concussion, what I've heard is that they might be carrying it over to the bye and just not with Lane Johnson. There are two, you know, offensive linemen did well. Obviously, they're going to miss Devontae Smith. That's going to be one of our games, but they don't want to rush him back. He's a small guy. He's very important. So, unfortunately, I was more optimistic on game day, and I'm being pessimistic there. Next,
but just real quick before you do that, when you look at what a game manager is, and when you talk about 8 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions for Sam Darnold, I mean he's doing his job. He's staying within himself, and you got to root for him. I mean he's not been given a break.
He really was
beaten up.
I am a Sam Darnold fan right now.
And in Panthers, he was on the fridge of being out of the league.
You know the Panthers depth chart at quarterback? Who was there with Sam Darnold? Baker Mayfield. Mayfield, Sam Darnold, same quarterback.
There you go.
In Carolina.
There you go, coach.
Next game, now you've got Bryce move. Young. You got to fly.
Okay, so, Doc, we have the 3-0 Kansas City Chiefs who stole a game last week in Atlanta. Oh. There should have been a pass interference call on that. But I love what Raheem Morris said. He said, you going to complain anything about the call? And he goes, no, I like my money. So it was quite obvious.
That's a great line, by the way.
Pass interference. So they're traveling to the 2-1 L.A. Chargers, who stunningly got beat up pretty bad last week against the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. So we got Kansas City getting given up 8 points while traveling to L.A. Chargers. Dr. Gross.
Okay. What I've seen is what I typically see of the Kansas City Chiefs at the beginning of the year. They kind of play rope-a-dope. They don't come out strong. They're going a little distance to the Chargers. I think it's going to be an ugly game. They're really not going to be motivated for it. The Chiefs will always come out, it seems like they'll win ugly like they did. I think that's too many points. I'm picking the Chargers in this particular contest.
I mean, it is a travel game, like you said, and Kansas City's just been getting everything. The refs are I don't know if they're betting on them or what's going on here, but it's disgraceful what we're seeing, but it can't continue. The barbecue isn't so good out in L.A. I don't think Andy Reid's going to be happy eating sushi, so I'm taking the Chargers and the points.
There we go, Josh.
I got to love what Jim Harbaugh's doing. I love what J.K. Dobbins is doing. Justin Herbert, he might be a little banged up. That's my only concern, but I'll take the 8.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because Herbert didn't play in the second half against the Steelers. They had Taylor Heineke in it. Charlie watched that game. It was so physical. Of course, you're rushing me, and you guys get to – I don't get the spinning wheel. You guys get the freaking – I had to
do the spinning
wheel.
Well, that's because you're going to tell me about the offensive coordinator for the Buccaneers, how Entourage is his favorite show.
Who's the seventh-string quarterback on the Chargers on the practice squad?
Well, Taylor Heineke.
Who's your pick?
Taylor, tell me
Taylor
what you're Heineke. No, go ahead. We're just having fun with you, Spence.
I hope Herbert. Is in. I love the physicality of the Chargers. I completely agree. The Chiefs win ugly. If Herbert, I'll say Herbert plays, I will go with you guys and take Harbaugh to cover the game.
Colin.
In a division road game, I think that's just too many points to lay. I like the Chargers to cover.
Charlie.
Yeah, Herbert is questionable. X-rays came back negative.
He's playing.
I got to guess. If he plays, I think San Diego. Look, I picked the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl again this year, and I don't see it right now. But again, the 3-0, I'm going to keep riding it until the wheels fall off. But I think San Diego, the division game, I think San Diego covers.
What game is this? Is this game four or five?
Four.
So we're going to really fly.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we got Buffalo, 3-0. They looked great last night with Josh Allen. 4 touchdowns, over 270 yards passing. Travels to Baltimore. Baltimore responded after going 0-2. Lamar Jackson looked really good. Derrick Henry looked like an MVP last week. So Buffalo at Baltimore. Baltimore's given up 2.5.
Okay. The way the NFL changes from week to week, Buffalo was amazing last week. And it's just an oscillating. If you pick for oscillation, you usually win. I think the Ravens are at home, and they're going to really try to feast on those Bills, and they're going to not try to knock them down. There's going to be a lot of hitting, a lot of turnovers. Bills come back down to earth. I'm taking the Ravens.
Yeah, this is a Sunday night game, and the way that the Ravens came apart last week against Dallas is a little embarrassing, and they're stewing, to use Spencer's word. Harbaugh gets his team back together. The Ravens win this game at home on Sunday night national TV.
I am riding the Baltimore train right now. So
I'm happy to be contrarian on this one. I think Buffalo's a new team. They get rid of Diggs, and guess what? I think Buffalo is – I think they could be a Super Bowl winner. I think Buffalo wins big and makes
big.
A statement. Yeah, Buffalo.
Well, it's easy to pick them.
I'm confident in the Bills. Confident.
Colin?
I look at this the same way as Dr. Bruce. It looks like Baltimore's due for a win. Buffalo's due for a loss. I like the Ravens to cover.
Charlie?
Your current MVP is that Josh Allen, I think. They look fantastic. Baltimore has trouble closing games, man. They just, for whatever reason, cannot close. I think Buffalo keeps it going, man. I think Buffalo wins.
Game five.
You got Seattle, 3-0. Zach Chevronay had a great week. You got DK Metcalf in midseason form. They're 3-0 traveling to Detroit, who is 2-1. Detroit's given up 4 points, Doc.
Okay. I'm going to take Detroit. I think Detroit is better than they've shown. Seattle, it's an oscillating league. I'm going on my gut feel. I'm taking the Lions in this game.
Monday Night Football. Got to take the Detroit Lions at home and give the points.
I am riding the same thing. I think Jared Goff has become a pretty good quarterback out there.
Seattle basically had a bye week, played against Miami. Detroit's fat and sassy after a big win against Arizona. Seahawks outright.
Colin.
I like the Lions in this one.
Charlie?
4 Monday night. I had no reason not to back Seattle here. Take the points.
Now we have the game of the week. It's the Eagles going to Raymond James Stadium. 4 Game 6.
So the Eagle, Tampa Bay, which we are familiar with Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield. Eagles 2-1. I wouldn't say they're playing the best football. Tampa Bay coming off a battle last week against Denver. The Buccaneers are getting 2.5.
Buccaneers, okay. I am going to feel that the momentum is going to stay with the Philadelphia Eagles. I believe that Denver Broncos really beat them up last week. They were beaten up. They were embarrassed. They're hurt. They're not going to be able to recover in time. And I think the Eagles learned a lot about themselves last week, particularly on defense. This is a huge game going into the bye. Obviously, I'm worried about the absence of Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith. But I'm putting my Eagles green on. I'm taking the Eagles in this game.
You know, it's an interesting stewing moment here when you talk about the Eagles and Tampa Bay and what Tampa Bay did to them in the playoffs last year. And the Eagles kind of were really not cohesive last week. And that's a good point how they'll put it together. That being said, Todd Bowles was the one who first exposed Jalen Hurts in the playoff game where they were 30-0 at the half. He did it again last year in the playoffs. He knows this. He's an outstanding defensive coordinator who knows the head coach. But he's going to wrap up this Eagles team. I believe that Tampa Bay wins this game.
I think Mike Evans is due for a big game, and I like Tampa Bay. I'm not impressed with Philadelphia.
I'll tell you, I Tampa wounded animal mode. I think Tampa can roll in this game, actually. I think the injuries, Tampa's like Tampa. Defense. I like Tampa.
It's my lock of the week, by the way.
I do like Tampa. I know you'll love that.
Go ahead. This is interesting. A lot of divergence.
I like the Eagles. I think that win last week could be like back in 03 when Westbrook took that punt return for an ugly win, and then they went on a huge streak.
Charlie, how do you see this game? It's going to be an interesting game. I'm sure you'll be watching it. What do you think?
I think with the bye coming up, that Philly you may be without both Brown and Devontae Smith. If that's the case, you know, I think big trouble for Philly.
Right. So are you picking the Bucks?
Yep. I don't think either of them play.
So I want to, in summary, I want to say that this hour flew by very quickly. We were able to meet all of our goals. We covered the Eagles wrap-up. We talked about the two big games in college football. We also went through our fearless picks. And not only giving the picks, because that's not why people are listening to Rover Sports. They're listening for the analysis from this team of experts. So I want to say thanks to everybody. Thanks for the whole team that showed up today. Thanks for our wonderful producers on this beautiful night. And as we roll, and we didn't even have time to talk about the Phillies clinching the division, which will be another story for another day. I want to leave everybody with the old moniker. Good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way. Who help others with the help of others. Who bounce back after each setback. Who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire.